As I was preparing this afternoon, some words to share. At this point in retreat, it felt like very few words were needed. And given that the topic that I was going to talk about, that I will talk about, is equanimity, it kind of made sense. State of an even mind, being okay. Equanimity. From the Latin word equanimitas, having an even mind. Equus, even animus, having an even mind, even soul. It's interesting looking up the definition of equanimity. As the evenness of mind, especially under stress, or also defined as a state of psychological stability and composure, which is undisturbed by that which may cause others to lose the balance of their mind. It's also interesting to me to see how, in the dictionary at least, in Merriam-Webster, there was a reference of equanimity not just in the mind, but in the body, as physical equanimity, as balance. And that was interesting to me because experientially that's what it feels. As the mind gets more equanimous and balanced, the body finds a certain composure of movement, and vice versa. As the mind slows down, as more measured, not necessarily slow actually, but just more measured, more composed, the word composed comes to mind, is more composed. The mind becomes more composed. So there is good news in that, because you can fake it till you make it. And there are studies, various studies, psychological studies, where the state of the mind, the state of the body, if one takes a particular posture or position, that affects the state of mind, and this is one of them. I have to tell you, it's a little bit of a digression, but the studies about how the college students were told that the researchers were studying facial muscles, so they were told to hold a pencil in their teeth like this a long time. I can't give a talk like that, but they were holding a pencil, and so guess what that does? That pulls up the muscles of the face into a smile. Guess how their mind changed, their state of mind. They felt happier, more uplifted. So there's a lot to say about fake it till you make it. So if the equanimity in the mind hasn't quite caught on, just embody it as much as you can. Embody it as much as you can, that composure in the body. I ran into a long list of synonyms that I'd like to share with you, and I suggest you let these wash over you. Aplomb, calmness, collectedness, composedness. Composure. Cool. Actually, this word shows up a lot in the suttas. Cool. Coolness. Equilibrium. It's one of my favorites. Imperturbability. Imperturbability. Can't say that many times fast. Imperturbability. Placidity. Self-composedness. Serenity. Tranquility. Equanimity. They're antonyms. You can let these wash over you, but maybe not. Agitation. Perturbation. Discomposure. Ouch. It's interesting, as I usually do, I did check the Wikipedia again to see what sources of knowledge there were. And it was interesting, actually, to see that the value of equanimity, unsurprisingly, is extolled and advocated by a number of major philosophies and religions, including Hinduism, yoga, Stoicism, both Romans and Greeks, Judaism, Islam. Actually, Islam was particularly interesting. I want to share this with you, especially as I was born and raised in Iran, a Muslim country, by a Muslim family, and I was Muslim before. So it was particularly interesting to me. The word Islam is derived from the Arabic word aslama, which denotes the peace that comes from total surrender and acceptance. A true Muslim would experientially behold that everything happening is meant to be and stems from the ultimate wisdom of the Creator. Hence, being a Muslim can therefore be understood to mean that one is in a state of equanimity. Interesting. Being in a state of equanimity. Also shows up in Christianity, extolled and advocated in Baha'i faith, and surprise, surprise, in Buddhism. And guess who was quoted in the Wikipedia? And I quote, equanimity is one of the most sublime emotions of Buddhist practice. It is the ground for wisdom and freedom, and the protector of compassion and love. While some may think of equanimity as dry neutrality or cool aloofness, mature equanimity produces a radiance and warmth of being. The Buddha described a mind filled with equanimity as, in quotes, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. That's beautiful. I'm going to read that again. Let it wash over you. The Buddha described a mind filled with equanimity as abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. What a beautiful state. Equanimity. What a beautiful way of being in the world. Not just on retreat. exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. There are a couple of words in Buddhism that, two words in Pali rather, that roughly translate to the word equanimity. One is the word upekkha, which many of you may be familiar with, which is related to the root of the word that means to see, but it means to see from a higher vantage point, to oversee, overview, to see something from a bird's eye perspective, not to be caught. So upekkha is the ease that comes from seeing the bigger picture of things. So in daily life, for example, if you know that a friend or a relative has an angry nature and usually responds with anger, if there are some offensive words that come your way, you take them less personally because you have the bigger picture. This is how they respond. This is just them. I have someone like that in my close family. And this is just fill in the blank. It's just, that's how they respond. So it's not as personal. It's not personal. It's just how they respond to the world. It's the bigger picture. It's the bigger picture of who they are. The other word in Pali is a compound made of simple Pali words. Tatra Majja Tatta. It's a tongue twister. Tatra Majja Tatta. Tatra Majja Tatta. Tatra means there. Sometimes it refers to all these things. There, all these things. Majja means middle. Like Majjhima Nikaya, middle length discourses. Majja, similar, middle. Tatta means to stand or to pose. So put together, these three words mean to stand in the middle of all this. Isn't that a great image? To stand in the middle of all this. To stand. Not to cower. Not to jump up and down. Not to shake. To stand in the middle of all this. I want to add a smile. So, in that sense, it refers to balance. To remain centered in the middle of whatever is happening. Whatever is happening. Whatever is arising. This too. This too. This too. It's like this. This too. Sadness is like this. Grief is like this. Joy is like this. Fear is like this. Anxiety is like this. Standing in the middle of all this, in the middle of it all, just as it is, the circus. Standing in the middle of it all, it's all okay. And equanimity allows you, equanimity is what allows you to stand in the middle of all this and to be with whatever arises. It's a sense of inner strength, well-rootedness. On this meditation retreat, we've been practicing a lot of stability the first few days, coming back to the breath coming back to the body like a well-rooted tree, like a well-rooted redwood, that stability to stand, to stand, to stand in the middle of all this. The weather, the winds, the storm, in the forest, to stand. It's that stability that gives rise to equanimity. They're strongly related. It's the strong presence of inner calm, well-being, confidence, and vitality and integrity that can keep us upright. I'd like to share with you a simile from the suttas. Actually, two similes from Anguttara Nikaya 5.28. Just as if a person were sitting wrapped from head to foot with a white cloth so that there would be no part of his body or her body, their body, to which the white cloth did not extend. Even so, the meditator sits, permeating their body with a pure, bright awareness. There is nothing of their entire body unpervaded by pure, bright awareness. You can feel and tap into a body memory of having just taken a bath, taken a nice bath or a shower and feeling clean, really clean, warm. And you're wrapped in this warm, clean cloth that's just covering your whole body, pervading, covering all of your body, entire body. Not leaving any place uncovered. Covered with equanimity and the bright light of awareness. The simile refers to, and is often used for, refers to state of practicing concentration, which has been a theme of this retreat, where equanimity pervades the body, and so does the bright awareness, pure bright awareness, together with it. The two are quite related, equanimity and mindfulness. The virtuous cycle. Mindfulness is born of equanimity. And equanimity, unsurprisingly, is born of mindfulness. How is that so? How is that so? Well, referring back, pointing back to your own experience on this retreat, as you've been practicing mindfully, paying attention mindfully, gently, mindfully, bringing the attention gently to the body, to your anchor, getting rooted, getting stable. It's that stability. It's building that stability one vitaka and vichara at a time that allows that well-rootedness, that stability of the mind to grow, which then naturally gives rise to a sense of equanimity. They're related. Vitaka, vichara, joy, pity arises, is felt, is experienced. Sukha, bliss, happiness, contentment arise, as Gil was talking about, naturally, and equanimity arises. So from mindfulness, from bringing attention, all of these arise naturally. And from equanimity, when the mind is balanced, composed, unperturbed, the mind can pay attention with mindfulness clearly, can very stably see, because it's not pulled. It's not pulled one way or another by this or that or the other thing. It's standing in the middle of all this. The mind is composed, bright. Can see things clearly as they are, as Gil beautifully talked about what that means. Seeing things arise and pass away, and being okay, realizing that that is a truth of this existence. Things arise and pass away. Everything arises and passes away. It's the nature of this existence, of this life. Everything arises and passes away. And it's okay. It's okay. It's just what is. It's just what is. No resisting, no fighting. It just is. Complete acceptance of what is true. Everything arises and passes away. And making peace with that, making complete peace, being completely at peace with this. This truth of this existence. It's a source of freedom. It's a source of joy. It's not depressing. It's not sad. It just is. It just is. And that sense of joy and freedom is, okay, yeah, I thought so, but now I can really live with ease, with freedom. Of course everything arises and passes away. I don't have to hold on. I don't have to get rope burn to hold on to things. It's okay. It's okay. There's a freedom that comes from that. Freedom. 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 It's all about freedom. It's all about freedom. It's all about freedom from being pulled this way and another. There was a question about, what are we doing here? Why are we here? What are we doing here? Is this self-improvement? Is it a religion? What are we doing here? So much. We're doing so much here. And we're doing it with stillness. I want to share a poem by Mary Oliver. It's called Today. You might see yourself in this poem. Today I'm flying low, and I'm not saying a word. I'm letting all the voodoos of ambition sleep. The world goes on as it must. The bees in the garden rumbling a little. The fish leaping, the gnats getting eaten, and so forth. But I'm taking the day off, quiet as a feather. I hardly move, though really I'm traveling a terrific distance. Stillness. One of the doors into the temple. Equanimity. Standing in the middle of all this. Standing in the middle of winds. The forest and the winds. The middle of winds, the eight worldly winds. Praise and blame. Gain and loss. Fame and disrepute, joy and sorrow, the winds that pull us one way or another, standing with equanimity in the middle of all this. Instead of being pulled into pain, so much to identify with it, or to praise so that we're filled with conceit, or success that the fear of any failure is larger than life. It's just the eight worldly winds. Equanimity. And the bright, giving rise to bright awareness, bright light of awareness, giving rise to freedom. That's the destination. that's why we're here. Freedom, as much freedom as we can experience in this very life. In this very life. I'd like to share a quote by Upasika Ki, who is arguably the foremost woman Dhamma teacher in 20th century Thailand, from her book called Unentangled Knowing. Unentangled Knowing. When we practice, we're like diamond cutters. Our diamond, the mind, is embedded in dense, dark defilements. We have to use mindfulness and discernment, or virtue, concentration, and discernment as our cutting tools to make the mind pure in all its thoughts, words, and deeds. Then we train the mind to grow still and to contemplate so as to give rise to clear knowledge all the way to the point where you meet with what's totally pure and free from defilements and mental fermentations. Our Miss Emptiness, who is so extremely beautiful, free from change, whom the king of death can't see. I want to repeat the last line. Our Miss Emptiness, I love the feminine reference, who is so extremely beautiful, free from change, whom the king of death can't see. And as to whether this is something worth aspiring to, I leave it up to you to decide. I leave it up to you to decide. And just to actually give a reference, what the king of death here means, refers to Mara, who's this also known as the king of death, as what creates the shenanigans in the mind. In the suttas, it's almost this trickster that comes and shows itself in different ways, in the way of fear and sorrow and anxiety, and when you see it, oh, it's Mara, then it just kind of disappears and goes away. So that's king of death, one interpretation. So retreat time is precious. It's precious time for practicing, for imbuing yourself in this bath, in this lake, and then feeling covered from head to toe with the white cloth. A precious time for practice. And less is more. Let's just sit together for a few minutes. And as to whether this is something worth aspiring to, I leave it up to you to decide. Thank you for your kind attention.